He's got a beautiful backswing.
Oh, he got all of that one.
Oh my gosh.
That is amazing.
Layup with an iron into the hazard.
Oh my God, you had to deal with the golf course people too!
Well, that wasn't quite what I meant, you know?
What is good, everybody? Welcome into the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Sam Humphries, Taylor Williams, Jim Woodward, and the Hump Man, Craig Humphries, live from Augusta for the 2024 Masters Preview. T-Dub, I got to start with you. We talked on the radio show yesterday. I hope people, you know, enjoy that. We put that up on the podcast. If you guys missed that on 98.1 FM, WWLS, the sports animal. But T-Dub, we got to say it again. This is the best week of the year. I'm fired up for the first major.
Without a doubt, boys, the best week of the year. We get 52 of them as we rotate on our axis around the sun. And this happens to be the best seven-day stretch that we get, so I'm going to embrace every single minute of it. Unfortunately, as great as this year is going to be, it will not be as exciting as last year was, considering I was actually at Augusta National, probably the best day of my entire life. It is literally heaven on earth, and I am so, so jealous of our man Huntman down there, giving us great, great coverage. Could not appreciate him coming on anymore. And Woody, there's no other words to say it than it is by far the best week that you could possibly imagine.
I don't know why it is, but every year it just seems like that when this comes about, I get a little bit of golf fever again. And I don't have it like I used to, but this week I do. I mean, I'm already in there watching little videos on everybody's press conferences, and I'm listening to the Hunt Man all day today when I'm in my car and trying to figure out, okay, who am I going to pick? And I don't know, guys. If you're not a golfer, I understand that people don't really think anything of this, but boy, if you're a golfer and you don't get a warm and fuzzy this week, you're dead is what you are. You've got to be dead.
There's no doubt about it. And let's welcome in Craig Humphries live from Augusta National. Dad, every single year, you've been there for what, 35 years now out of the last 37 years, correct?
That's it. 35 out of 37, yes, sir.
And so every single year when you go in the gates at Augusta National, just explain to the people how it's special every single year. I've heard you explain it to me many times. Please share that with our listeners.
No, it's just as special this year as it was in 1988. I came Friday of 1988, was my first day at Augusta National, and I remember, you know, making my way to the number 10 tee box as fast as I could. I just wanted to walk that back nine because, Woody, in those days, that's really all we had seen on television. Now, then they started, you know, they started the coverage at number six. Remember when they did that? They would show some of, you know, six, seven, eight, nine a little bit, but mainly, you know, 10 through 18 was what we knew by heart. And I just wanted to walk down number 10 and see that back nine. And I was just as fired up to walk down number 10, walk around the whole golf. Woody, I've been to every part of this golf course over the last 2 days. I told Sam I've walked and seen more of the course in the last 2 days than I have in any tournament since 1997, because I got my media pass in 1998. And so I've spent a lot of time on the golf course, and I absolutely love it, Woody, because this course is unlike any other course in the world, right?
I was very fortunate. I got to see it when I was young. Probably didn't appreciate it near enough, huh, to be honest with you. But you're exactly right. And what we always tell people, if you've never been, television still does not do it justice. Even as good as television is now, as much as we get to see, until you step foot on the property and see the undulations and the beauty of the almost what God created, and then they just built from it. It's the darndest place I've ever seen or care to see ever again as far as golf. And you're like me. I mean, I've been to Scotland and St. Andrews. I've seen a lot of really great golf courses. There's still nothing like Augusta.
So, T-Dub, last year was your first year going to Augusta National.
what was your favorite hole to watch or spot of the golf course? What are you missing not being there this week the most about your time on the grounds at Augusta National?
Oh, man, I don't know if we have near enough time to get through all the things I'm missing from being there. There's literally everything about it was immaculate. The service they had there. What was amazing about it to me was is that you have the most prestigious golf course in the world. That's the National. Then it's right outside of it's just like ordinary town. It's like, oh, there's a Walgreens. There's a CVS there. There's some stores. And it's just like there's a fence to walking it. And that's the difference between a regular town and heaven on earth. That is one thing that absolutely shocked me. But you got to go to Amen Corner, right, guys? Because you start on 10, and you don't realize until you're there the amount of elevation drop that is on hole 10. So you're walking down on a very steep decline, and you're like, man, how far does this go down? And whenever I went, it was 8 a.m. right as soon as they let you through. There was still a little bit of fog, and you keep getting lower and lower. Like, man, I can't hardly see because you're getting so far deep in there. But then you get down to Amen Corner, and that it's just picturesque as best as you could, being able to sit there behind 12 or 12 tee box and be able to watch those approach shots from the guys that were coming in were good. But and one of the things too I'm missing, Sam, is the food and the drinks. The Crow's Nest beer was one of the more elite beers that I've ever had. And then the peach ice cream sandwich was maybe the best thing I've ever ate. And, I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah.
I mean, Huntman, how do you beat the peach ice cream sandwich? That is my question.
Well, I mean, it's unbelievable, and I know you told me about it last year. I had never tried one until yesterday. It's incredible.
It really is. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's literally two sugar cookies with peach ice cream inside. Is it still the same this year, Dad?
That's right, and it is thick. I mean, there's a lot of room between the cookies, yeah.
That's right, thick with two C's. But, fellas, I cannot wait to talk about Augusta National with you guys throughout this show. Before the break here, we're going to touch on a couple of things with whether it be the Valero or Live Miami or the ANWA. Get Woody's thoughts. Like I said earlier to these guys off the air, I was going to say that we already gave our thoughts on those tournaments on the radio show. So if you want to go back and listen to my dad's, the Hump Man's, or T-Dub's, or my opinions on these golf tournaments, we don't have a whole lot of time to do it today, but I did want to get Woody's thoughts, especially on the Valero Texas Open last week. Woody, I've never seen anything quite like the finish of that event. You have Denny McCarthy, who shoots 28 on the back nine. Then you have Akshay Bhatia, who makes an 11-footer and then throws his shoulder out fist pumping, but then he ends up winning the playoff. They go back and play 18 again, and Denny McCarthy fats a 100-yard little, what was it, like a sand wedge or lob wedge into the creek in front of the green, one of the worst shots given the circumstances I've ever seen. Not to mention, I didn't even mention on Saturday you had Jordan Spieth literally in the gutter of the clubhouse. What the heck was going on at the Texas Open last week? I had to get your thoughts on this at least.
Well, I mean, I thought the same thing. When Bhatia threw his shoulder out celebrating, that's kind of weird. I've never seen. I did break a patella at the Houston Open in 1993. I hit a shot and broke my patella, so I can't necessarily bash the poor kid for pulling his shoulder out. But I wasn't celebrating. I was just trying to make a par. So I'll tell you, Sam, what people got to understand about golf is any player at any time can hit a bad golf shot. I think that a lot of times our listeners and people watching golf think that these guys never miss a shot. Well, that's not true. If you'll go to a golf event, you will see a lot of guys in the trees, and you will see shanks now and then, and you will see somebody lay the sod over a wedge. It just so happened that happened to be at the worst time for this poor guy, Denny McCarthy, because he played that back nine. I thought he was going to win for sure with just how many putts he made on the back nine and what he had going. Because Bhatia was all shook up by then. And so I can tell you this. It's easy to see how that kid can throw his shoulder out. He might weigh 12 pounds. And I've never seen a skinnier individual in all my life. I mean, that boy, he could throw out anything. He has no skin, much to speak of, and no body mass at all. So he needs to be real careful is all I'll tell you, Sam. But it was entertaining golf, which PGA Tour needed last week because it was a competition with Liv going on in Miami. And you always got the entertainment of Jordan Spieth. I'm sorry, but I'm getting tired of Jordan Spieth's golf. I wish he'd go back and put in just a good golfer. I don't like him bouncing off the roof in the gutters. It's ridiculous what this guy's doing now. He needs to find a golf swing and understand on a golf course, Jordan, we have what we call a fairway, and then you have a green. And you need to try to figure out how to do that instead of showing us all your trick shots off roofs and around trees and everything else he does lately. He drives me crazy, Sam. I'm sorry.
T-Dub, was there anything else from the Valero that we didn't get to touch on the radio show that you wanted to bring up? I know that it was a crazy statistical week, and you love statistics. Like, you had Denny McCarthy with 92 putts in 72 holes, or, you know, Akshay Bhatia and Denny McCarthy each gained over 21.5 shots on the field total for the week. That would have won them the last 167 PGA Tour events. Any last thoughts on the Valero before we move on to LIV?
Yes, they both averaged 5.29 shots gained on the field per round. That is absolutely insane. And for the fact that one of them to do it and not win was crazy. But I kind of highlighted this on the radio show. I just want to highlight it again. The thing that makes Denny McCarthy's shot so bad is that it was the easiest pin location that you could even possibly dream of with that situation. You had 100 yards with a backstop to it, about 15 feet past the hole. You hit it anywhere within a 20-yard radius, and it's going to funnel back down into the hole, or at least towards the hole within 15 feet. So that's what makes it even trickier. There really wasn't much of a situation where he's going to hit it and it's going to be 25, 30 feet from the hole. It's going to circle back down. So that's what, in my opinion, made it even harder, is that you could take a lot of 10 handicaps out there and they could have hit a shot in there within 10 to 15 feet. But when you have the pressure of trying to win a PGA Tour event with all the millions of dollars on the line, and then also consider Denny McCarthy had not won a PGA Tour event before. He is in the Masters field this week, but had not won before. So a lot of pressure riding on him with that.
No doubt about it. Now let's move on to LIV Miami at Doral. I'll start with Woody, since Woody has played at Doral many times, and you always talk about you have to strike the ball well to win there. Dean Burmester, who I got to interview a couple times during LIV Tulsa last year, really, really nice guy, always smiling, always giving the media thoughtful answers, ends up winning the golf tournament on the second playoff hole. Sergio was in that playoff against Dean Burmester, and they both made textbook pars on the first playoff hole, and then Sergio on the second playoff hole out of the fairway kind of fluttered one up into the wind, and it hits that bank in front of the green on 18 and goes in the water. Dean Burmester wins. Woody, any thoughts from the play you saw at Doral last week?
I wanted to see Rahm. I wanted to see Kepka, and I wanted to see DeChambeau. I didn't even think about Garcia being one of my favorites at Augusta. Now, I mean, he played really solid golf, Sam. I was very impressed with Sergio this last week. Not so much with Kepka. Rahm just was, I don't know, since Rahm's gone to LIV, it just doesn't seem like he really gets that motivated to play golf. So I'm hoping that will happen this week at Augusta. I think that golf course still is one of my favorite to watch because it's so hard and it's still such a really good test. And we called it. I mean, you look at the ball strikers, they were right there. What we were shocked at is when I couldn't even remember the name of the team that I picked to win, and then they won. Then they win. I couldn't even remember Legion 13, and you guys made fun of me. I remember it. I'm old, and I don't have that long a memory, but I got laughed at last week, Hump, because I couldn't remember Legion 13, and both your son and Taylor referenced them. They both said, Woody, you can't remember Legion 13?
Well, it's a new team. Yeah. It's John Rahm's team, right?
Yeah, John Rahm's team. But, Hump, I picked them, and I know that when we went off the air, the two of them probably said, that Woody, he's a peach. They got no chance. But again, look what happened. Look who won the team thing. So
Woody was
They also won at Mayakoba in the first tournament this year.
Right. They're not a bunch of donks.
Yeah.
They're pretty good. They're all right. So, but that was fine. I just wanted to get in my 2 cents when I've got you on the air with me, Hump, that I wanted to brag on myself. I actually picked one right last week.
No, you're exactly right, Woody. And Legion 13 finishes first at 22 under par, one shot ahead of the Range Goats, who don't have Taylor Gooch anymore, but they do have Bubba Watson, Peter Uihlein, Matthew Wolf, and Thomas Peters. And then you had Stinger GC, who won in Tulsa, the South African team with Louis Oosthuizen, but John Rahm's team of Rahm, Hatton, Kieran Vincent, and Caleb Surratt end up winning the golf tournament. T-Dub, any thoughts from last week at Live Doral? The thing I was most disappointed, I guess, from Doral was the fact that I was really looking forward to seeing how Cam Smith's game looked, and he got the flu and had to withdraw, so I had to take him out of, I was going to make him one of my picks at Augusta, given his prior record at Augusta National, but unfortunately I had to take him out because I don't know what, you know, that question mark will be headed into Augusta with his health.
Yeah, it's definitely something you have to look at. We documented that last night on the radio show. The guys like him who had to withdraw, Koepka didn't play very well, Dustin Johnson. Guys who you would traditionally look at Augusta National, who may be slightly off the radar now just because they haven't shown precise form the last couple of tournaments. One thing that I'll mention about Liv that I don't think we've talked about yet is that team championship. It came down to nitty-gritty with Legion 13 winning. Kieran Vincent was struggling massively on the last hole. And he had to, I believe he hit it in the water on his approach shot. And then he took his drop, and then he was putting through the fringe and left it about 5 feet short. And then has to make that win by one. John Rahm actually made a very clutch birdie on his last hole, which actually ended up being the difference maker. So whenever you're counting all four scores like they have been, there's been a lot of volatility. There was numerous times yesterday during the round where Legion 13 had a 6-8 shot lead, and then it would get down to four, then they'd have a 6-shot lead. And then next thing you know, you get down to it, and we're having to make 5-footers. To win by one shot. So maybe eventually we'll get a team playoff at some point. That'd be really fun. But it seems like that team competition going to all four scores has really made a difference.
No doubt. And we'll cover a whole lot more of the LIV players playing in Augusta National this week. We'll also obviously talk about the favorites and give our full Masters preview after the break. But before this break, Dad, any thoughts on those two events? And I also want you to update the people on what happened if they missed it over the weekend at the Augusta National Women's Amateur, where Lottie Wode birdies the last two holes to beat Bailey Shoemaker by one.
I thought Lottie Wode's performance was outstanding because, Woody, it looked like she was in charge of the golf tournament. She came to number 13 and hit a good drive, and I couldn't believe that she laid up. And they said this was her plan all along, to lay up on 13. And I don't know, she was playing like she had a 5-shot lead or something. And anyway, then she hits it to the back of the green and three putts for bogey. So she bogeys 13. She had been rock solid off the tee all day long, and all of a sudden steps to the 14 tee box, and what does she do? She pulls it left right into the crease. Got a break that it bounced out. Hit it up short of the green, you know, pitch down. Anyway, eventually misses at 14, eventually has to make a 15-footer, 12 to 15-footer, for bogey at number 14. And so it looks like she's pretty well done, but making the bogey putt at least keeps her alive. Well, then she proceeds to birdie 15, 17, and 18. So ends up birdieing the last two holes, three out of the last four holes, and wins the golf tournament. So I give her credit, Woody, for pulling it together after looking like she had lost the golf tournament at 13 and 14.
I got to tell you, that's what I love Augusta, whether it's girls, it's boys, it's dogs, I don't care what it is. Everybody kind of finds a way to check their gut check at Augusta. Some succeed, find it, get it back, end up winning. Some fail. And I think that's what's so great about that. You being there for 37 years, okay? When you think about that, all of the shots you can remember, I know there's a multitude of them, but we can go, you and I can sit there and probably talk all night about guys that maybe should have won, could have won, didn't win, never got back, guys that won that I didn't think they were gonna. So what she did will go down in the annals. She tried to lose it, and then she figured out a way to win it. And that's what makes Augusta just so great. I think it's cool these girls get to play, huh? I don't know how you feel about it, but I think the more people that get a chance to play that golf course in competition, the better. I mean, for the longest time, I know T-Dub said, you know, right across the street, there's a Walgreens, and he says the only thing keeping everybody away from is the fence. Let me tell you something, T-Dub, it's more than a fence. Just get lucky enough to go over that fence and find out how fast they're on top of you, little buddy, because it might only be, it looks like a small fence, but that you might as well be trying to break into Russia. I don't think it's going to happen.
And the other thing, golf-wise, Woody, is Bailey Shoemaker. Is it Bailey Shoemaker, Sam?
Yes, the
girl from USC.
That's correct.
Yeah, she shoots a 66, Woody, bogey-free 66 in the final round. She started the final round 1-under for the first two rounds and ends up 7-under. But there was a point when, you know, Wogue is like, with four holes to go, I mean, it's looking like Shoemaker has won the golf tournament. And then, you know, all of a sudden she's over on the range and hitting balls, and then she's got to just hope that Wogue misses that birdie putt at 18 for a playoff, and she didn't. And so she ends up coming in second after it really looked like she was going to be the winner.
And, you know, Craig, what was great about that golf tournament, I don't know if you got to see any. I happened to be out at Oak Tree on the Thursday. The wind was just howling, and they were trying to make the cut to see who would get to play at Augusta. And I've got to tell you guys, that was, I'm glad I wasn't playing, but it was entertaining because you talk about a tough day to play golf.
Tough conditions.
Poor girls.
Right.
Oh,
and that was at Champions Retreat. Yeah,
their emotions were on their sleeves. You could tell they knew every one of them knew what they probably had to shoot. And coming down the stretch with that wind just gusting and moving around there, oh baby, it was an ugly thing to watch because some succeeded again and some failed miserably. And you know, you just felt for those poor girls that, you know, were under par starting that day and ended up 7-8 over, that just got one of those rounds, which we've all had them happen.
Yeah.
When you get a tough conditions, you know, you might not even be playing that bad. In rough conditions, it can get ugly. And so that golf tournament was fun to watch. I enjoyed those girls.
The top 30, of course, got to play the final round at Augusta. But the good thing is, Woody, even if they didn't make the cut, every girl got to play a practice round there on Friday, whether they made the cut or not. But, of course, you'd prefer to make it and actually, you know, play around in competition on Saturday. And a lot of those girls missed out on that, like you said.
No doubt. That was great stuff. By the way, if you're thinking Bailey Shoemaker, I've heard that name before. You probably saw her when she made it to the semifinals at the 2022 U.S. Women's AM and then the round of 16 at the 23 U.S. Women's AM. As far as Lottie Wode, the champion, goes, she has the lowest score, a 65, the lowest score in the history of Florida State women's golf, which that's very impressive as well. And she adds an ANWA to her trophy case. T-Dub, any final thoughts on the ANWA before we move on and get to the Masters preview?
One thing that I think is interesting and something to comprehend is that all of us playing golf growing up, we always throw a few balls down on the putting green and envision that you have a 10, 12 foot or whatever it may be to win a big golf tournament. So women for the longest time never had the opportunity to play Augusta National. So if they're out on the putting green at 5 years old thinking they have a chance to win a Masters or something like that, they never got that opportunity. Audie Wode had that opportunity. She got to accomplish it. And who knows, maybe when she was little, she never even comprehended being able to make a putt at Augusta National because it wasn't allowed. But now that it is, this is what, the fifth installment of the tournament. It started in 2019. They didn't have it for the COVID in 2020. I think it's been a great thing for not just women's golf, but all of golf in general. I can't wait to see any more installments to come.
No doubt about it, fellas. Let's hit our first break. After the break, full Masters preview here on Oklahoma's Leader in Golf, the 73rd Hole Podcast. We would like to welcome in a new sponsor to the 73rd Hole Podcast, Jimmy Austin Golf Club in Norman, Oklahoma. If you have any Sooner apparel needs or apparel needs in general, this is the golf shop to go to. Jimmy Austin Golf Shop has been rated as the top merchandising facility in all of the South Central section 5 out of the last 7 years. In addition to their phenomenal pro shop, Jimmy Austin is also going to be hosting a Korn Ferry event again this year, the Compliance Solutions Championship. On June 20th through the 23rd, you can come out to Jimmy Austin and see the stars of the future on the PGA Tour competing in the Compliance Solutions Championship on the Korn Ferry Tour. I also want to encourage all of our listeners out there to go out to Jimmy Austin and play some golf. It's one of, if not the best, public facility in Oklahoma, and it always ranks in the top five best courses in Oklahoma to play golf. So if you want to play like a champion, next time you're booking your tee time, remember, there's only one Jimmy Austin Golf Club. And we are back on the other side of the break on the 73rd Hole Podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. Definitely go follow us on social media at D73rd Hole on X and at 73rd Hole on Instagram. Also, if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, just hit that follow button. It's absolutely free and it just helps us out, and it will give you a notification whenever we drop a new episode like this one. And as you guys heard before the break, we are lucky enough to be joined by Craig Humphreys live from Augusta. And I think everyone's first question as we lead into Masters Week, Dad, is the weather. What is the weather outlook for the Masters this year in 2024?
Well, the bad news first, Thursday could be a washout. It's supposed to start raining a little after midnight on Wednesday night and a chance of about 90%. Overnight on Wednesday night, and right now they've lowered it from 100% to 90% on Thursday, but the rain is really supposed to continue, you know, well into the afternoon on Thursday afternoon. South winds 10 to 20, high of 76 on Thursday, but the main problem is thunderstorms, and so that's the big question. Will they be able to get started Thursday morning? If they do play a few holes on Thursday, how many? But the good news is that the forecast for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday looks great. Friday is sunny and 73, Saturday sunny and 79, and then Sunday sunny and 84 degrees. So it looks like they're going to have to be playing from behind. Don't know if we'll have a cut made by Friday night, but Thursday is a big question.
And we'll get into the tee times, T-Dub, and let you know who might be playing possibly in the rain if there's no lightning. But normally when you hear that there's rain on Thursday of a golf tournament, that means that the scores might be pretty low, especially if there's a delay and these guys are playing a soft golf course the rest of the way. How do you think that the rain on Thursday might affect the scoring?
Well, in a usual golf course, it could absolutely soak it. Augusta National, I think, has all the equipment and materials they need to make sure they can make that thing almost as dry as humanly possible if they want to. But I do think it will still play fairly soft with the rain that comes in. So you look at a few things. One is that you're going to look for guys who hit it a little bit further off the tee, because a 7,500-yard golf course is going to play extremely long at that point. Also, too, with Friday when they're supposed to play, wind's going to blow somewhere around 10 to 20 miles an hour. So that could definitely get a little gusty, especially around Amen Corner. So look for that to be a factor in there. If they do decide to keep the green fairly soft after this rain, what it would also too is the 10 locations where they'll put them are in such small locations. They have redone a couple of greens this year. I believe they did redo 2, 4, and 6 slightly just to make a few more pin locations, you know, things a little bit more accessible. But generally, the places where you need to hit the ball are really, really small. So if it is a little bit softer, you can just go a little bit more pin seeking than you usually would. So it's gonna affect things a little bit for sure. And I don't think it'll change. Oh, it's not gonna flip this tournament upside down, the fact that it gets a little bit of rain and potentially not play on Thursday.
Yeah, hopefully not rain like last year on Saturday. I was out there at Augusta National on Saturday, and Augusta National is the greatest place in the world, but even I was wanting to leave Augusta National. You have to realize that the weather has to be that bad as it was last year for me to want to leave Augusta. But Woody, any thoughts on how the course might play differently after the rain on Thursday? It is good news that it sounds like good weather the rest of the week after that, though.
You know, the question I got, I'm kind of like T-Dub on that one. They've got all the equipment to suck the water out of the golf course. They can't do it in the fairways. They can do it on the greens. I what I look for on that Thursday is what you guys were talking about. Who might get stuck playing more holes of golf in the rain, or do they cancel it early enough where nobody's affected? Because, you know, a 72-hole tournament, it doesn't take much to give a guy a little bit of an advantage. And if I say, like, go off at 8 o'clock and I got to play for 2 hours, play the front nine in a lot of rain and just some miserable conditions, and then they go, yeah, well, we're going to call it. We'll come back on Friday. And nobody, the guys that hadn't even teed off yet, now get Friday where it's dry and maybe a little breezy. But other than that, so that could be really interesting, Sam. What I'll tell you, though, is they usually won't have the big, big names going very early in the morning. So I might be wrong because I haven't noticed a lot of the tee times yet. But that's the only thing I'm worried about, guys, is does somebody get kind of a raw deal and have to play maybe nine holes in a bad conditions, and the other guys go, yeah, it's hard for your luck.
Well, let's talk about those tee times, Woody. Let me read off some of the notable tee times. T-Dub, if I miss any tee times you want to talk about, let me know. But these are all Eastern time, by the way. I'll read these off in Eastern time. At 10:06 a.m., you have Patrick Cantlay, Minwoo Lee, and Ricky Fowler. 10:18 a.m., you have Matsuyama, Zalatoris, and Justin Thomas. 10:30 a.m., you have John Rahm, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Nick Dunlap. At 10:42 a.m., you have Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, and Xander Schauffele. That is your all-time feature group right there. At 10:54 a.m., you have Wyndham Clark, Victor Hovland, and Cam Smith. Clark and Hovland, obviously, two former Cowboys playing with Cam Smith. That's a pretty cool group right there. And then in the afternoon at 1:24 p.m., that's when you have Tiger Woods, Jason Day, and Max Homa. 1:36 p.m., you have Brian Harman, Brooks Koepka, and Tom Kim. At 1:48 p.m., you have Jordan Spieth, Ludvig Åberg, and Sahith Theegala. And then at 2 p.m., you have Dustin Johnson, Colin Morikawa, and Tommy Fleetwood. T-Dub, any thoughts on those, and did I miss any notable pairings that you saw?
Well, you got the majority of them there, for sure. One I was scrolling through here, my dark horse pick last night on the radio show, our man Taylor Moore, he's in the second group off. He's playing with Jose Maria Olafable and Santiago de la Fuente, the amateur from Mexico. So hopefully our man T. Moore, and Austin Eckroat's in the third group right behind him. So hopefully our local guys can go out there. We wake up early Thursday morning if they are able to play some golf, and hopefully we'll see some Oklahoma names up top going on, shooting some good numbers. But yeah, it's going to be very crucial these tee times to figure out exactly if they do have to play on Sunday. Currently, Weather.com says 100% chance of rain. Of course, so I guess it just matters if it starts way in the morning or not. But yeah, it's one of those things where we look at the British Open all the time, right? And the tee time is going to make a massive difference. I hope that the players who, if they do have to go out and play, aren't extremely at a detriment to it, because it would be a shame if it did come down to that. But hopefully not for the people that are going there, because if you have a chance to go to Augusta and the conditions are like that, it wouldn't be the most enjoyable experience. But hopefully if it is going to rain as much as it do, they just go ahead and just call it and just say, let's just go ahead and tee this thing off Friday.
Dad, any thoughts, Sam, on those tee time? Go ahead, Woody.
Well, I was going to say, Sam, the one pairing, and I'm curious what your dad, I was going to ask you that, but you're going to beat me to it, but I'm going to beat you to it. I don't think Rory, that's a good pairing for Rory. Scheffler and Shoffley. Scheffler right now is so good and so dominating. And Shoffley, kind of pretty good himself. I didn't think that was a good pairing for Rory. Now, I might be completely wrong. It might juice him, and he might really get into the competitive mode, you know, and want to really go after it with Scheffler. But I thought that pairing was the one that jumped out to me, and I was just curious what you think, huh?
Yeah, it's obvious. I mean, that is the pairing of not only this tournament, I think that's the best pairing we've seen in Augusta National maybe in a number of years. To have the number one player in the world and player of the year the last 2 years on the PGA Tour, one here 2 years ago, paired with the guy that's looking for the green jacket to complete the career Grand Slam, and the other guy in the group, Xander Schauffele. I mean, his record in majors and his record here at Augusta National, Woody, is just incredible for a guy who has never won a major, what Xander Schauffele has done. I mean, he's had, this is seventh Masters. He's been top 10 in three out of the last 5 years, tied for third in 2021. Remember in 2019, he was one of those guys who had his problems at number 12 the year that Tiger won. But, and then what he's done, and this is his, he's had 26 major starts. He's been in the top five and six of them, in the top 10 and 11 of them, and he's been in the top 20 and 19 out of 26 career major starts. It's amazing he hasn't already won one, but that is a fantastic pairing. And I agree. I mean, what you're saying, Woody, Scheffler has been so good with his ball striking that Rory might be sitting there saying, is this guy ever going to miss a shot, huh?
Well, you know, you don't know. I mean, he's not Tiger Woods by any stretch of the imagination yet, and I don't think he'll get there, by the way. But I would have thought Rory would have rather gone kind of a little bit more under the radar than that. That's just my two cents, but they're obviously they weren't going to let him. And Hunt, you said it best that I'd forgotten how many times Shoffley had played well with Guster. I was just watching the 2019 rerun just the other day, and all those guys were right there. It was Koepka, it was Shoffley, it was Finau, it was Molinari. There was everybody there, but all those guys I just mentioned made one fatal mistake that you can't at Augusta National, and that's hit it in the creek on 12.
Yeah.
Of all those guys, there were six, seven guys that had a chance to win the golf tournament. One of them found the middle of the green, made a par, and his name happened to be Tiger Woods. So Shoffley has over and over again impressed us on our little podcast. We talk about him all the time, but we also talk about he can't finish. And he, until he does, I'm not going to bet on him. I'm sorry. I know if you want to bet a top 10 finish, something like that, great. He's a great guy. But I don't see him, especially with that pairing the first 2 days, winning this golf tournament.
I definitely want to talk more about Shoffley later on in the show. Our man Colby Powell last night on the radio show said that Xander Shoffley is going to win the Masters this week and win his first major championship. We'll talk more about Shoffley later on, but we did hear from Rory earlier on today in the press conferences, and Rory talked about the fact that, number one, he is now seeing Butch Harmon and says he texts Butch on a daily basis, and then he also said that one of his main focuses headed into major championship season this year is the need for better course discipline, and he feels like he's left shots out there just course management-wise. T-Dub, what are your thoughts on Butch Harmon and the need for course management? Rory just continues this year to make good decisions. In my mind, I think that he's going to get great results. I just don't know if it's going to be this week, T-Dub.
Well, you add Butch Harmon and a little bit better course management, it seems like an absolute recipe for success to me. Unfortunately, I do think there are a lot of factors going against Rory this week. He did finish third last week at the Valero Texas Open. Obviously, was only 9 shots off the lead, so never really intended, but still a very solid finish from him for someone who really has not played very well since winning earlier this year over the Dubai Desert Classic. Since then, his best finish on the PGA Tour was 19th at the Players before he did have that third-place finish. And you look at it, too, the last two events he's played at the Players and then San Antonio, hasn't driven the ball very well, at least compared to what he does. Last week, he did gain 0.5 shot off the tee, but yet he's used to gaining 1.5 shots off the tee on a lot of occasions. So that's something that could come back to bite him, because Rory's going to have to drive the ball well at Augusta if he wants to be able to maneuver it. He has missed a cut 2 out of the last 3 years. I think that is alarming, but he does have a lot of success here. Has the backdoor second-place finish in 2022, and he holds it out of the bunker. Nick Faldo's worst call in the history of all time when that occurred. He finished fourth in 2015. He has 2 fifth place finishes, 2018, 2020. He has 3 other top tens in there. But he has missed the cut 3 times, and 2 out of those 3 have happened in the last 3 years. So to me, that is a little bit concerning there, because this is the only tournament, we said this how many ever countless times, the only tournament that he lacks to complete the career Grand Slam, something only 5 players have ever done. And when you have to wait 8 months after a major, after the last major, which was the Open, to have another opportunity at it, that weighs on you in your head, and you think that you just have a lot of different thoughts running through your mind. It's going to be hard to get all those pieces together. He's talented enough to get it done. I think he will at some point, but he's going to need to be on a lot better form and maybe potentially win another major championship before he's able to break through the door at this one.
No, I agree with that. And I have a feeling that one of the guys on this podcast will have a lot more to say about Rory McIlroy when we make our picks. Let's talk about Tiger Woods, fellas. Tiger spent a lot of time during his press conference today talking about his love for golf and that he still thinks that he can win a major championship, says that his body was not able to play once a month after his last time he teed it up at Riviera. That's why he did not play at Bay Hill or the Players. Hopefully his body is able to play at least once a month now that major championship season is here. Dad, you are the one that had the most faith in Tiger during that first comeback, the greatest wager on this planet or any other planet. I mean, I think it would take, you know, monumental levels of optimism to think that Tiger Woods is going to contend this week. What are your thoughts about Tiger headed into Augusta in 2024 as opposed to 2019?
Yeah, I'm not making any bets on Tiger right now. I'm not even betting pizzas on Tiger right now. I am pulling for him. You know, he is tied with Gary Player and Fred Couples for the consecutive cut made record here at Augusta National. So made that record-tying 23rd straight cut last year before he had to WD in the third round. But no, I mean, how can we say he's only played one round of golf this year? Now I watched him hit, you know, a bunch of putts on the putting green today. I watched him behind 15 yesterday, you know, hitting every kind of chip shot and on the man and so forth. And just walking around, putting, chipping, it all looks good. I saw him, you know, strike one right over the flag at 16 yesterday. So I think he's still got all the shots. I think he still remembers how to putt, you know, under pressure. But Woody, as you know better than me, I mean, there's putting on the putting green with nothing on the line, and then there's putting in tournament play. And I just don't think he's got enough tournament play to contend here this week or anytime soon. But I do think he knows this course well enough, and the Masters is maybe one of the easier cuts to make because it does have some amateurs or some older players, you know, that have qualified. And so, hey, I would not be surprised if he made the cut. I wouldn't bet money on it. I wouldn't bet any money on golf because I think it's the most difficult thing to bet on in the world. But I wouldn't be surprised if he makes the cut this week.
Nor would I. I like we always say, you can't count on him anymore. You can't count him out. So I think Tiger right now is in a part of his life where I think of him in two ways. I think of him, he's kind of like a politician. He keeps telling you what you want to hear, guys, and you can keep believing it. But I don't think, you know, I really was hoping he was going to play once a month and play three or four golf tournaments before this. I still think he's more damaged than we know. I look back at that old Wendy's commercial where I'll date myself and Hump will understand where you remember the old lady looks at it. She goes, "Where's the beef?"
Yeah.
It's all bun. You know, it's all bun. It's a lot of great talk, but I'm not seeing anything else. So, I want him to make the cut. I do want that because I want him to set that record. He set every other kind of record possible. Let's go ahead and get one more for him. But I just I think we got to just I said to these guys on the podcast, I gave up on him about, you know, when he got the flu at L.A. I said, yeah, I've heard enough. I've seen enough. He can play this little game and he can do what he wants to do, but for him to look you in the eye and say, "I still think I can win a major," yeah, I'm going to say no. I'm sorry right now. I'm not going to trade with you. I'm not going to say there's not a chance. I'm not that stupid, but I am going to say I don't think it's possible.
T-Dub, you and I are the biggest Tiger fans on the planet. I'm sitting here doing this podcast, looking at my Tiger Woods bobblehead staring at me, probably about to tell me that I'm an idiot, but I don't have any faith that Tiger's going to make the cut this week. His last finishes over the last 4 years. This is his finishes over the last 4 years. Withdraw, 18th out of however many guys play at the Hero. Then you have withdraw, 45th. Miscut, withdraw, 47th, 38th. That is literally his all of his finishes over the last 4 years, I have no reason to believe he's going to make the cut this week at Augusta.
Yeah, and those tournaments you mentioned are since the car crash when he came back. And we're not going to count, the Hero's 18th out of 20 players. So we're not going to count 18th finish being his highest. Since then, his highest finish was the 45th last year at the Genesis, which is pretty crazy to comprehend. He is going through so much with his body physically. We saw it at Southern Hills firsthand. Looks good early in the week, and then as time and his body starts to wear down as the tournament goes along, he starts to get beat up. Augusta National, as I learned last year, is not the easiest course to walk whatsoever. So much undulation out there. It is not a flat piece of land whatsoever. So he's going to have to endure that part. One thing I'll say is we have a top 50 in ties make the cut, no longer a 10-shot rule. At Augusta, there are 89 players in the field. That is including the likes of the five amateurs that are playing, along with the veterans who really have no chance to win the tournament. So if you look at that, he has to, theoretically, you would think that he'd have to beat 70 guys, get a top 50 out of 70. And we saw last year with someone like Phil Mickelson, who came in with absolutely no form whatsoever. He could somehow finish second place. I'm not going to doubt the greatest golfer of all time that he could figure it out for at least two rounds and hopefully get this cut streak up to the legendary status that it needs to be, as he holds every other record already.
That's good stuff, fellas. We need to hit a break here on the 73rd Hole podcast. After the break, we are going to tell you the analytical favorites, some betting odds, our favorite best bets, and give our picks on who we think are going to win at Augusta National this year on Oklahoma's leader in golf, the 73rd Hole podcast.
Hey everyone, T-Dub here. I want to take a second to tell you about my good friends at McRae Roofing. Not too long ago, my roof was in desperate need of repair. There was extensive hail damage and I had many leaks that needed attention. Not only did Jeff and his staff build me a new roof, but they walked me through step-by-step of the claims process, which is something that I was very, very concerned about. Everything from the initial inspection of the roof to analyze all the damage to meeting with the insurance adjuster to make sure they were aware of every damaged area, making sure my claim was accurate. Their custom copper creations are truly beautiful and add a great touch to any roof. Not only do they do residential roofs, but they have an elite list of commercial customers, including Gallardia Country Club, Oak Tree National, and Bass Pro Shops. Check out their website at McRaeRoofing.com to view some of their work yourself and give them a call at 405-692-4000. That's 405-692-4000.
We'd like to welcome in our newest sponsor for the 24 season, Allcom Security. They're located in Midwest City. It's an Oklahoma-based company by Oklahomans. If you have any alarm needs, whether it's home or business, or what they have now that I am fascinated by, and I think you would be too, they're OKC security trailers. These trailers aren't just your average surveillance units. They're equipped with cutting-edge technology that can distinguish between humans and vehicles. Imagine that. With precise accuracy, these trailers detect any unwanted activity on your property, whether it's a person wandering where they shouldn't be or a vehicle creeping around after hours. It's like having a vigilant guardian watching over your domain. I have personally seen these units, and they are amazing. So if you have any alarm need, please call my good friends at Allcom Security, 405-732-9000, or just look them up on the web, Allcom Security.
And we are back here on the 73rd Hole podcast, the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. We were talking during the break there, and T-Dub, you brought up an interesting stat about prior course history at Augusta National. You want to share that with the listeners?
Yeah, we always talk about how the horses for courses, Augusta National guys just play this course so well, and it leads to traditionally who will be at the top of the leaderboard. And you look at the DataGolf website on the course history, and the metric on how course history relates to how someone will finish at the end of the week. And Augusta National is almost twice as much as what is the second highest course, which is Bay Hill. Riviera is just slightly behind that, along with Mayakoba is actually up there as well. Kind of interesting. So yeah, that's fairly intriguing to see the analytics back up the fact that if you played this course before in the past, more than likely you're going to play it good now.
That is good stuff. So, T-Dub, you have to leave us here in about 10 minutes. So, I'm going to ask you who your picks are. I want you to give me not only your top three and a dark horse. I also want you to give the fans out there your one-and-done picks for the week. And obviously, major championship, we're doing two one-and-dones this week. So, T-Dub, would you please not only give your picks, but expand on why you're picking those players this week at Augusta National?
Well, I'll go ahead and start with just top three and then a dark horse. To pick the winner, I have no idea how you don't pick Scottie Scheffler to win this tournament with how great a form he's been on the great course history. And four appearances, hasn't finished worse than 19th here. Finished 10th last year and lost a full shot on the greens. That just shows how well that he is striking the ball. So I'm not sure exactly how you would go against picking Scottie Scheffler. I know some people will, but I just think he's head and shoulders the best golfer in the world right now. And the odds to win this tournament in Vegas completely back that up. My second pick that I'll go with will also be another one of my one-and-done picks because he is a live player and you cannot use live players in the elevated events, so I'll go ahead and roll him out. In a major, defending champion John Rahm. He's, even before winning last year, his worst finish in 7 appearances at Augusta is 27th. Absolutely loves this place. Has 4 other finishes here besides his win. They're inside the top 9 with 2 of those being inside the top 5. I definitely expect John Rahm to have a good showing this week. And his 5 appearances that he's had on live since going over there. Hasn't finished worse than 8th there. Hasn't won yet and has some opportunities to win. Kind of faltered on Sunday, so maybe look for that to potentially be the case this time at this Sunday. But I just think that he loves this place so much, and we'll look back on in 10 years and think Rahm is one of the more elite players that have ever played or has an elite record at Augusta National. So I really like his chances. My last pick would be a guy who you would traditionally think of, oh, he's never played this tournament, so I'm going to go ahead and not pick him because no one's won here since their first appearance since Fuzzy Zeller did in 1979. Ludvig Åberg, I think, has a tremendous chance. He's a 6th-ranked player analytically, 9th in the OWGR. Has never played a major championship before, but he has played in a Ryder Cup. I think that experience will be good. He finished 2nd earlier this year at Pebble Beach, finished 14th last week at Valero, finished 8th before that at the Players. One thing that is alarming is that the last 2 weeks he has lost strokes gained on the greens, but he's hitting the ball so astronomically well, especially with his irons gaining more than a full shot there. I think his ball striking will prevail this week, and I expect Åberg to have a very high finish. My dark horse, who I mentioned last night on the radio show, is our man Taylor Moore. He's hitting the ball extremely well, finished 2nd in his last appearance at the Houston Open, so I expect that trend to continue. Finished 39th last year at the Masters, or in his first Masters. So it's a good trend whenever you play it for the first time and you don't miss the cut. And so that's a good positive sign there. I expect him to have a backdoor top 15, top 10 finish when you look at it. And with all the picks I mentioned, I'm still lacking one-and-done pick, a very popular pick as of late. Sam, you've been on him for a few weeks now. Hideki Matsuyama, not only does he have recent form, playing well, finished 7th, 6th, 12th, and the win going back at the Genesis in his last 4 starts. He loves Augusta National. Already has a green jacket, 14th, 16th. Last 2 years, has a 5th back in 2015, a 7th, 11th in there as well. I'm trying to find a good mix here, Sam. I'm trying to figure out guys who have played here well, but also guys that are playing well in recent form, because that does have a good impact. And out of all the guys I said, I would not be shocked at all if we come back on here on Sunday and say Ludvig Åberg is the first guy to win a Masters in his first appearance there, which is something I didn't know if we would ever see again, but I think he could get it done this year.
Anybody you're fading this week, T-Dub, that you just don't like this week?
That's a good question. Someone like Tyrrell Hatton, who showed a little bit of form last week, he traditionally has not played Augusta well, so maybe that's someone to look at. Max Homa is another guy who does not necessarily play well here at Augusta. In his 4 appearances here, he doesn't have a finish better, 43rd. So a couple of guys who some people, almost everyone loves Max, and some people like Tyrrell Hatton, some people don't enjoy him for the things that he does on the course. I think it's fairly entertaining to see what he does. So if you look at guys who maybe necessarily be bigger names, I would say that. And then another guy who a lot of people have been on live would be Bryson, who hasn't finished outside of the top, hasn't finished worse than 9th place in his last 4 live events, but has never played particularly well at Augusta. His best finish was 21st back here in 2016. I believe he was an amateur at that time. So, and has missed the cut the last 2 years. I think those would be the 3 guys who, I mean, they could come out and have a solid week, but I think there's just going to be a lot better names for the value that you could get from them who have a little bit better course history and also have a little bit of form as well.
T-Dub, great stuff today. You have other responsibilities. You have parent-teacher conferences tonight to go to. That is much more important than our little podcast. But I do want to ask you, before you get out of here, any final thoughts on Masters Week before we get to the best week of the year?
Oh, boys, I could go on for days about this tournament, how much I'm looking forward to it, all the great players that are playing, all the different storylines we could have come down on Sunday afternoon. Well, hopefully it's Sunday afternoon with this little bit of rain that we're going to get on Thursday. Who knows how that will derail things. But I'm just so excited. As I mentioned at the start of the show, I wish I was there again this year, because that is an experience you can never take away, because it is absolutely gorgeous, the property down there at Augusta National. But I'm going to go ahead and enjoy it from here. As we mentioned, got a lot of things to keep tabs on, and I think it's going to end up being an extremely exhilarating tournament coming down the stretch. I just hope that the week doesn't go by too fast, because as we said, it is the best time of the year, and I want to be able to savor every minute of it.
That is two-time state champion Taylor Williams here on the 73rd Hole Podcast. T-Dub, have a great week, all right?
All right, boys. Happy Masters.
No one better in Oklahoma as far as covering professional golf and knowing all the ins and outs, statistics, all of that. Taylor Williams, the absolute best. Speaking of Taylor Williams, I just mentioned that he's a two-time state champion. One of the guys he beat in that state championship was Taylor Gooch. Dad, any thoughts on Taylor Gooch, who is the 33rd ranked player analytically right now on Data Golf, 550 something on the official world golf ranking? What are your thoughts on Taylor Gooch, the individual live champion from last year, not being at Augusta National, obviously the best player who is not invited this year?
Well, you just said it, Sam. He won the season-long points competition on live last year. Had to win three times to do that. And he's played some great golf currently. What, he was second in Vegas? His team won in Vegas. He was eighth at Jeddah. His team was third there. And he tied for ninth this last year, this last week at Doral. And so whether you're talking about what he did in 23, current form, he deserves to be here at the Masters. And it's a shame that he's not here.
Yeah, and Woody, we heard John Rahm in his press conference today talk about this situation kind of indirectly. John Rahm said on Major Qualification today, quote, "There's got to be a way for certain players on a tour to earn their way in. I don't know what that looks like, but there's got to be a way. They need to figure out a way for them to rank the live players so they can earn their way in." That's the quote from John Rahm earlier today at Augusta National. Any thoughts on TG not being there and what John Rahm said today?
Well, Rahm, I mean, we all know this is an issue, but I'm going to be a little bit of black cloud here, guys, and I'm going to say, listen, we said this 2 years ago. When Taylor made that choice, he made that choice because he was looking to make his family financially stable or financially good forever. He succeeded. He has made almost $70 million. He also said, you're rolling the dice. There's a chance you will not get into major championships when you pull this trigger. Now, I'm not trying to be the bad guy here, but we knew all along that this could happen, okay? We hoped it wouldn't. We'd hoped the PGA Tour and the Saudis could figure this deal out where this would not have happened. But, guys, I'm sorry. I'm old school. You knew what you were getting into when you did this, and there was the chance this was going to happen. It's not right. It doesn't seem to be fair. But it's what we were told was going to happen when they signed on with Liv, okay? So, yeah, I feel sorry for Taylor. I know he's good enough to be Augusta National, but when he rolled those dice, guess what? They came up snake eyes this time, because it is starting to affect his career as far as getting in majors. Because let's not forget, he's not in the U.S. Open either. He's going to have to qualify. He's not in the British Open. He's not in the PGA. Because of these rankings, Sam, it isn't fair right now, but you kind of got to go, okay, you knew what you got. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of being the black cloud there.
No, and that's the great argument in the game of golf right now. I mean, obviously, that was before, you know, the PGA Tour went to limited field, no cut events, or like Pebble Beach this year was literally three rounds limited field, no cut, since it got rain shortened, and Wyndham Clark still receives OWGR points. I guess my question to both of you guys, because you're two of the best golf minds that I know, is Number one, do you think they're going to figure it out? And how soon do you think they're going to figure it out as far as live players being able to get back in major championships? Because Taylor Gooch is just the tip of the iceberg.
I think they'll figure it out. I don't know how soon. I mean, we're told about a framework agreement and that might be done by the end of the year. Last year, of course, we're still waiting on that. But I guess the big complaint, Woody, is, yes, you know, he knew all that when he made the agreement with Liv. But since then, now, the PGA Tour is at least in discussions to do business with Liv, it looks like. I mean, they said that they had a framework agreement. So the PGA Tour has an agreement with Liv, so they're doing business. And yet Taylor Gooch is still being penalized for doing business with Liv. So I hope that it comes together soon. I can't say I'm real confident about that, but I do think they're eventually going to come together with an agreement, because I think, you know, cooler minds must prevail. And when someone is willing to invest billions, all right, into your industry, you need to take advantage of that.
I agree, Hump. And we've got to figure this out. I didn't know. I will tell you guys, I can't tell you who. I can just tell you, the other day out at Oak Tree, I was talking to a guy that I know knows that on two different occasions, Greg Norman and Yasser have been in Oklahoma City. And
really?
They've had meetings with individuals to try to sign certain players. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out certain players would probably be Oklahoma State guys. Let's just leave it at that, okay? This gentleman said to me that we are further away than what you guys might think. That we've still got too many people with their head in the sand. We've got too many egos still fighting. And what we do agree on, when I was talking to this individual, is we both couldn't agree, why is Jay Monahan still here? And so I don't know what's going to happen, Hump. I was disappointed after this conversation. I really was, because I thought, we've got to be close. We got to have this thing. It should be tied down any day. Yeah, I don't think so anymore after talking to this guy. So it's a travesty is what it is, because it's not just Gooch. Gooch is the most obvious one, okay? Joaquin Neiman's just lucky he got invited, okay? Because as good a golf as he's playing, you know what? He could have been left out really easily also. So
yeah, they didn't mention the Liv tournaments that he had won when they said why they gave him the invitation.
Right.
They mentioned the fact that he had won
Australia
late in the year, last year, and the fact that he has, you know, some history here at Augusta National, because he earned his way in by winning the Latin American Amateur, you know, and of course, Augusta National is behind that.
Well, sure, and he's got a pedigree that they like.
Right.
I mean, trust me, it hasn't helped Taylor in a way, where the one year he was there, he showed up in shorts. Not his. I mean, it is his fault.
No, I got you.
Paying attention. You know how they are, huh? I'm not telling you anything.
I mean, I love TG, but he did make the comment saying, you know, this year, whoever wins the Masters, there will be an asterisk next to their name.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
It's just tough.
And you know what? In all fairness to Taylor, I can't even imagine the people that poke him and ask him questions and everything else. And you guys know, you've been in the media for a long time. We can get it twisted. Did Taylor really say it that way? We don't know. But it's easy to twist, and it's easy. You know, he can't go through his whole life with a muzzle on. He's a human being. He's got to be able to go and perform and play and be able to talk. So, I mean, he almost became the poster child for them to dislike, okay? And it's not fair, but it's what I've watched and what it seems like to me. He's the one taking the beating. Mickelson, we know, took a beating, but Taylor's taking his fair share of beating, too, that's very undeserved. If they knew Taylor like you all, and we all know Taylor, they wouldn't be treating him like that, but he's easy to jump on. Let's just say that.
No,
so what you're saying, Woody, is just the fact that when they signed Rahm, maybe that should have told us that maybe they weren't that close. So
yeah, I think yes. And And they were here pretty recently from what it sounds like, and they were trying to get some other guys that are stars. Let's just say that. They're not done, Hump. They're what they are is they're a little irritated right now because I think we're not getting as much done. And I think – I don't know this Yasser from Come Sick'em. I was around Greg Norman enough when I was playing to know that if he's got unlimited money and the vendetta he has towards the PGA Tour, we're not done. We're not done. So it's going to probably get uglier before it gets better.
No doubt. We can continue that conversation, you know, a different day. But to Taylor's comment about the asterisks, I get where he's coming from on that. Do I believe there should be an asterisk next to the winner's name this year at the Masters? No, I don't believe that one player makes that big of a difference. But at the same time, both things can be true, that I also believe that the 33rd ranked player analytically should be in the Masters, you know? And so when I mentioned that it's just the tip of the iceberg, guys like Oosthuizen, who, by the way, isn't in this year, or Tyrrell Hatton or Dustin Johnson, not the Masters, but starting in 2026, he's not going to be in any of the other three major championships. I just think they got to figure something out before then, you know, as far as LIV and the PIF and the whole merger, the weirdest merger in the history of sports. Speaking of another Oklahoma State guy, let's talk about what he had to say today. Victor Hovland was very candid and open in his press conference today, talking about how he has basically tried to not change his golf swing, but he said even though he was on the hot streak at the end of last year after winning the FedEx Cup and playing great at the Ryder Cup, said that he didn't feel like his golf swing was sustainable. He went on to talk about the biomechanics of the golf swing, and then he also admitted that he hasn't been practicing his short game as much as he was last year because he's been trying to figure out these things on the range with his golf swing. Woody, that might explain why all of the last four tournaments he's lost over a half a shot per round on the field or more around the greens. The chipping was great last year. That was one of the reasons why he was playing so good. The chipping is back to where it was before. I love Javi, but I think there's a chance he might be tinkering a little bit too much and in his own head. Woody, what do you think as a golf professional?
Can I have my picks back now that I said earlier in the year I thought he'd win two majors? Athletes in general, now golfers are notorious for this. Because, guys, I watched Tiger Woods hit balls at the 2000 PGA at Valhalla. I've never seen something so good in all my life. I was just flabbergasted at how good he was. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't like Butch anymore, and he wants to go to Hank Haney? Well, you might as well go, it's a total solar eclipse. That's how different these two are. Hank Haney and Butch Harmon. But I don't know what it is about golfers. They're never happy. They're never pleased. They always think they can get better. Sometimes, you better be careful, though. Sometimes what happens, you get worse, okay? And right now, it scares me. I listened to part of that press conference, too, Sam. It scares me to death that I saw him on the range today in one of those master shows, and he's got his instructor there. They got this screen out, and there's TrackMan, and they're going through all these configurations. Boys, I hate to tell you, and Hump, you can agree with me on this. It hasn't changed. I'm almost 67 years old. Been doing it for over 55 years. It's still the same game. There's 18 holes, and you try to get in as fast as you can. And there's no such thing as perfect. So I worry like crazy when I see these guys with all these gadgets trying to find nirvana. Nirvana does not exist, gentlemen. It's a myth. They better figure out how to get it in the hole. Victor did it better than anybody at the end of last year, and then he didn't think it was good enough. Wow. I don't know. I'm sorry. Well, I don't get it.
And along those lines, Woody, you've talked about how tough this game is, and even the greatest players can hit bad shots. And I saw on the Golf Channel, I think it was last night, but here's a list of the notable players without a PGA Tour win this season. You got Rory, who's ranked number two in the world. Now, this is world rankings, but still, you got Rory, you got Shoffley, number five, you got Hovland, number six, you got Cantlay, number seven, you got Brian Harman, number eight, Fitzpatrick, number 10, Max Homa, 11, Jordan Spieth at 18, Morikawa at 20, Justin Thomas at 28. None of those guys have a win on the PGA Tour this year, guys.
That's scary, isn't it, when you think about that? What have we always said, Sam? Every one of our podcasts, we said, well, another long shot one. And that's when we got to start realizing they're not long shots. They might be long shots by their odds, but they're PGA Tour players. That those guys winning, they're not looking for perfection. They're trying to get $1 million+ in the bank and trying to win a golf tournament. These other guys keep thinking they're going to make some great move, and most of them are going backwards, gentlemen. They're not going forward. They're going backwards. You just said that. With your little quote you gave there, Hump, with those guys not even winning a PGA event this year, none of them, enough said.
Well, yeah, and most of those same guys were on another list, Sam, real quick. Notable players struggling this season with a decline in strokes gained. Cantlay, Morikawa, Fleetwood, Homa, Fitzpatrick, Hovland, Bradley, even Rory was on that list. He's had a slight decline overall. Now, Rory, like, there was another one that we talked about, Sam, I don't know if you want to get to, that where Rory over the last four tournaments, you know, he's gained a total of at least 18 shots in his last four events. And so it looks like his game is back on the uptick right now.
Yeah, you gave that stat today on the radio, Dad. Give that stat again.
Okay. Well, it's the 12 out of the last 12 Masters champs, all right? Every one of the last 12 Masters champs, they have gained a total of at least 18 strokes in their last four events before they won the Masters, okay? Gained a total of at least 18 strokes in their last four events before they won. Okay, it's happened 12 years in a row. Well, there's only 9 players that have done that in this year's field, gained at least 18 strokes in their last four events. Those 9 players are Scottie Scheffler, and I'll go by the data golf ranking. Scottie's ranked number 1. Hideki's ranked number 13. Hideki Matsuyama. Xander Schauffele ranked number 2 in data golf. Rory ranked number 3 in data golf. And then the other 5 are Cam Young, who's ranked number 22. Ludwig Oberg is now number 6 in data golf. He's number 9 in the official world golf ranking, Woody. And he's never even played a major. And he played a Ryder Cup before he's ever played a major. But Oberg is ranked number 6 right now. And then the other 3 that have picked up at least 18 shots in their last 4 events, Shane Lowry, who's number 29, Corey Connors, number 24, and Siwoo Kim, number 28. That's your 9 players that have done that. And so I don't know. It's something to think about at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, statistics don't lie, and that's a pretty good one you just threw out there. That's strong.
No, very good stuff there, Dad. As far as your top 5 players analytically on Data Golf this week, Data Golf says Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, Jon Rahm, and Hideki Matsuyama are your top 5 favorites. Your next 5 are, this is a little bit surprising, Jordan Spieth, Bryson DeChambeau, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Joaquin Niemann, Ludwig Oberg, Tommy Fleetwood, and Victor Hovland. So of that list, there's a couple names that really surprised me, and that's Jordan Spieth. Jordan Spieth, we talked about him being in the drain to the gutter last week at TPC San Antonio, but so far this year, last week he finished 10th, but before that he went missed cut, 30th, disqualified at the Genesis, but then, you know, before that, finished 6th at the Waste Management, then 39th at Pebble Beach. My point is it's been an absolute roller coaster. Woody, I know earlier on today you said that I don't necessarily trust Spieth. I'm kind of tired of him, but he does tend to turn into a different golfer at Augusta National. Any more thoughts on Spieth?
Well, no, you can't argue with his record there, Augusta. He figures out a way to get the ball in the hole there. He's not as good as what he used to be. When he first started there, I mean, he was a rock solid. I mean, kind of since that one year he dumped it and made that big number on 12, he's not, what I'd say, struggle, but hadn't been near as tough at Augusta. I just don't trust him. Sammy's been tinkering with his golf swing for so long now. I see way too many wayward shots. How could you possibly trust a guy like that coming down the stretch knowing how wild he can hit the golf ball? I'm not there. I can't do it.
You trust Spieth at all, Dad?
I will say this. Like you said, he turns into a different player here. He's already had 6 top fours and 10 Masters. This is number 11 for him. And he did finish tie for fourth here last year. He tied for fourth here at Augusta National. So, but like Woody said, most of his success came early. I mean, he and Tiger won at age 21. He led wire to wire, you know, and, you know, wins by 4 shots, tied Tiger's record at 18 under. I mean, he did all that back in 2015. He would go on to win the next major, the U.S. Open. Then he added the Open Championship in 2017, and no other majors since then. So now we always talk about Rory going, you know, about a decade now without winning a major. Well, Jordan Spieth, 2017 was his last.
No, it is crazy. And then the other guy I was going to mention that was a little bit surprising, you don't think about shorter hitters at Augusta National, but Matthew Fitzpatrick, who we talked about earlier on about a month ago, that figured out that he had weights in the butts of his irons that he didn't even know were in there. I guess his club guys were putting them in there to try to tinker with things, and he forgot that the weights, you know, were in the butts of his irons, and finally figured it out when he was re-gripping his clubs earlier on. I think that was before either the Cognizant or the Players, but at the Players Championship, Matthew Fitzpatrick finishes solo fifth. Then he plays last week and finishes tied for 10th at the Valero Texas Open. And Matty Fitz actually has a really good record here at Augusta. He's gone 10th, 14th, 34th, 46th, 21st, tied for 7th in there as well. He only has 1 missed cut in 10 appearances at Augusta National. Pretty impressive, and not necessarily a guy you would think of. Maybe a pretty decent top 10 bet at Augusta National, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's top 15, like you said, here in Augusta the last 2 years, and he's coming off a tie for 10th in San Antonio. So he wouldn't be on my list, but the numbers don't lie.
Great putter. He's a great putter. So anytime you get a really good putter, they're pretty good to bet on at Augusta.
Well, fellas, the time has come. We need to give our picks for the 2024 Masters Tournament. I will start off. We'll go dark horse, dark horse, dark horse, and then third, 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 second, and so forth. My dark horse at Augusta National this year, I'm going to go with Bryson DeChambeau. No, he doesn't have the prior course history at Augusta National that you would love to see. He's also the 210th ranked golfer on the official world golf ranking, but he is the 21st ranked golfer on Data Golf, has played really solid golf recently. At Miami, finished 7th, Hong Kong, 6th, Jeddah, 4th, Las Vegas, 9th. He has played maybe the most consistent golf of any other player on LIV so far this year, and I just think he might be due for a good week at Augusta National, where he's missed the cut the last couple of years at Augusta, finished 46, 34, 29, 38. He's never played good at Augusta. That's not why I'm picking him. I'm picking him solely based on recent form. Dad, who is your dark horse this week at Augusta National?
All right, now, Woody, here's what happened. Is Sam, he had me as a guest on the radio show with T-Dub last night. I'm used for years and years. I've always made my Masters picks on my show on Wednesday before the Masters. Of course, I don't have a show anymore on the Sports Animal, so I guess I can give the picks any time. But Sam pressured me before I'd done any homework, and I took Justin Thomas. I took Justin Thomas last night. Now, Justin Thomas is not that bad here in Augusta. I mean, top 25 and 6 out of his last 7. But given what I just told you guys about those 9 players that have picked up at least 12 shots in the last 4 events, Shane Lowry, Sam, he's number, I got him 36 in the official world golf rankings and 29 in Data Golf. If I could make a change and change my
You're allowed
course.
To change the they have not teed off. They have, you know, I always have to say, Hootie has not said, you know, welcome to the Masters
tournament.
Yeah, let the tournament begin. Exactly. Hootie has not spoken yet.
All right, since the tournament has not begun, I'm going to change and go with Shane Lowry.
And I like
my
that.
Star course. This is his 9th Masters. Of course, he won the Open Championship at Port Rush back in 2019. But he's been in the top 25 each of his last 4 years here at Augusta National. So I'm going to go with Shane Lowry, who tied for third 2 years ago here in Augusta.
Well, I got to tell you, Craig, I was down to two guys. And these are going to surprise you, but not really, because Shane Lowry was one of my dark horses. The other one I'm going to go with now to pick Shane, I'm going to go with this kid. This is really bold because I don't know about this putter, but I'm going to say Will Zalatoris has a good week. And now that one's way off the map, especially with that new broomstick. But I just like that kid when he gets in majors. He before his back went out on him, he was solid as a rock in the major championship. So I'm that's really kind of off the radar, but I'm going to go Will Zalatoris as my dark horse.
Woody, I was watching him with Hovland today. And, of course, you know, he wasn't around last year. I hadn't seen him in a while.
Right.
But this guy's ball striking. I saw him hit drivers on number 7, 8, and 9, and he is just as solid as can be. And even at age 27, I mean, he's already had 6 top 8s in majors. And, of course, he was second here in 2021 here at Augusta National. So, yeah, I think that the guy is just such a great ball striker. And as we talked yesterday, Sam, this has become more of a ball striker's tournament, greens and regulation.
No doubt about it. It's a second-shot golf course for sure. Will Zalatoris in his 2 Masters appearances, 2nd and 6th. And then, like you mentioned, Woody, he went through the back surgery and back injury last year, but he came back so far this year. He finished 13th at the Farmers, 2nd at the Genesis, and 4th at the Arnold Palmer. He did miss the cut at the Players and finished tied for 74th last week in San Antonio, but has those good finishes. That's a really solid pick, Woody. I like that pick of Will Zalatoris. My guy who I am picking to finish 3rd in the golf tournament is Hideki Matsuyama. Hideki recently has just been playing great golf, 7th at the Valero, 6th at the Players Championship. He finished 12th at the Arnold Palmer and obviously won at the Genesis at Riviera. I'm not even mentioning where he finished top 15 at the Farmers at Torrey Pines as well. That's a lot of good golf on a lot of tough golf courses so far in 2024. And he has a great Masters record at Augusta National. Obviously won back in 2021. The 2 years after that, 14th and 16th, and he lost a half of a shot on the field per round on the greens when he finished 14th and 16th. He loves this course tee to green, and he's finding form with the putter again. Dad, I think that Hideki Matsuyama not only is my pick to finish 3rd in the golf tournament, but he's also going to be my best bet of the week. You can get Hideki Matsuyama to finish top 5 at plus 500. I really, really like that bet.
Yeah, you've been talking about him for weeks, and I can't argue with you on Matsuyama now playing in his 13th Masters, and he's been top 20 here 8 out of the last 9 years. So I think that's a solid one, Sam. Okay. Since I can change picks, okay, Woody, last night I had John Rahm, the defending champ, as my number 3 choice, but it was very close between Rahm and Xander, and I know you think I'm crazy for switching this one, but I am going to switch from Rahm to Xander, and Xander does show up on that list that we just talked about
right,
as far as strokes gained in his last 4 tournaments, so he shows up on that list. And he's got a great track record here at Augusta National. I just think it's time for Xander to do something. It wouldn't shock me if he won the thing this week, but I do think he's going to be right in the hunt like he always is. Top 10 in 3 of his last 5 years here at Augusta National, tied for 3rd in 2021, and he's tied for 2nd the year that Tiger won. So I'll go with Schauffele as my number 3 choice.
Yeah, Schauffele's got to break through sooner or later. He's just too good a player not to. I don't have him in my top 3 because I don't trust it still. You got to prove it to me. I looked at a couple guys. I can't go with DeChambeau, even in long shots, anything, because he's the guy that said that Augusta was a par 67. And T-Dub always says, T-Dub always says, well, the golf gods at Augusta aren't going to let him do it. Well, I got to go with Sam's pick. My third pick was going to be Hideki, and more than any reason is how good he played at Riviera, how good he's played this year, and that what his caddy did when he won there, when he took that flag off there and he bowed. Those Augusta gods love him, so they're going to follow Hideki, so that's why he's my third. It has really not a lot to do with stats, all about tradition.
Fellas, my second pick, or my guy that I think is going to finish second at Augusta National this week, is Xander Schauffele. Now, he did finish 10th here last year at the Masters. He missed the cut here back in 2022. What's significant about that? That's the last time that Xander Schauffele missed a cut on the PGA Tour. The 2022 Masters. He didn't miss a cut in 2023 and hasn't missed a cut in 2024, fellas. But he, even though he missed the cut in 22, that doesn't bother me. He has a 10th, a 3rd, a 17th, a 2nd at Augusta National in the Masters. I'm not saying that Xander is going to win the golf tournament this week at the Masters, but I am saying if Scottie Scheffler didn't exist, he has been the most consistent player on the PGA Tour over the last year. That's why it's shocking that he hasn't won. We talk about his record of finishing out golf tournaments when playing in the final group. It's not good. 1-9 in his last 10 times playing in the final group on the PGA Tour, finishing those out for wins. But, I mean, his recent form is phenomenal. 5th, 2nd, 25th, 4th, 9th, 3rd, 10th. The guy is one of the premier ball strikers on the PGA Tour and loves Augusta National. He's an obvious choice for me to put in my top three. I'm going Xander Schauffele, number two.
Okay. You want my second? My second is going to be Scottie Scheffler. And listen, I should pick him. Maybe if my life was on the line, do I trust Scottie Scheffler more than Rory? Yes, but I just have a feeling on Rory this week. So I'm going to say that Scotty can't win everything, and I'm going to say he finishes runner-up this week. But, you know, the guy obviously has back-to-back PGA Tour Player of the Year. He won by 3 over Rory, led by 5 after 36 holes a couple of years ago in 2022. And then he wins in at Bay Hill and the Players this year, so he's on great form. What he did last year, 18 straight top 12s? On the PGA Tour,
which was
having an average to bad putting year, and he still had 18 straight top 12s. That's incredible.
It is incredible. I still, when I watch him play, on television, I haven't seen him in person, but when I watch him on television, and he shoots the flags nobody shoots at. The one that just screamed to me was 13 at the TPC, that little par 3 that hit it far left on the final day. And there's not 6 feet of green before you go in the water. Everybody else is trying to draw it in, take it off the hill. Scottie Scheffler took it right at that flag and didn't even blink. It was like that wasn't even a water hazard. I mean, he's doing things I've just never seen. My second guy, that's why he's going to be probably my pick, but my second guy is going to be Rahm. I think Rahm has been bored to live so far. That's what I think. I mean, he shows up, he does his thing. I think John Rahm's geared up towards this Masters. It wouldn't surprise me if he wins it, but I think he's going to finish second. But we'll see. I like John Rahm this week.
And he's got a great record here too, Woody, like you say.
Yeah.
Top 10 and 5 out of the last 6 Masters. I mean, hard to believe, but this John Rahm, this is already his 8th Masters, and he's still in his 20s. Yeah.
I know, but that shows you how good they are and how young they are and how good they are. Yeah.
Yeah, and John Rahm could join Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, and Nick Faldo as other guys to win the Masters back-to-back years. Nicklaus in 65 and 66, Tiger in 01 and 02, and Nick Faldo in 89 and 90. But I do think it's going to be a former Masters champion, just not John Rahm. I got to go with Scottie Scheffler. I mean, what can we say? He's the best ball striker we have seen since prime Tiger Woods. He wins back-to-back weeks earlier on this year at Bay Hill and the Players, first to ever win back-to-back Players championships. The guy is unbelievable, and the reason why I'm picking him is because we are sitting here on Tuesday before the tournament starts on Thursday, and I already think it's Scottie Scheffler's tournament to lose because all he has to do is putt average, and he's going to win the golf tournament, fellas. And if he putts great this week, I do think there's a chance that Scottie Scheffler could win this Masters by double digits. I am picking Scottie Scheffler. I'm not predicting that. I'm saying that's if he putts great, which is not necessarily likely. He won the Players' Championship with his B-minus game, especially on the greens. But I am predicting that Scottie Scheffler wins this Masters by five shots. Dad, who's your Masters champion?
Wow. Wow. And hey, before we get off Scheffler, he almost won the PGA and U.S. Open last year without putting well. Remember, he finished second in the PGA and third in the U.S. Open last year. So,
unbelievable.
Yeah, I've got Rory. I said it. I just have a feeling now if he goes out and miss. I've had a feeling before, Woody, and he's gone out and missed cuts.
Yeah, I had that feeling last year at Augusta National.
Yeah, so did I. Sam and I both got burned.
So I think I was in there with you last year, so I shouldn't be going to the well again. But what he did last week, Woody, in San Antonio, and I like the fact that he played. What's been holding back, like T-Dub said last night, was, you know, the last 5 years on Thursday, he can't get out of the gate. He's had poor opening rounds. I think the fact that he played last week is going to help there. I like the fact that his strokes gained approach to the green with the irons was very good last week, not only in the final round but for the whole tournament. So his 16th Masters, he's 34 years old, top 10, 7 out of the last 10 years. It is time for Rory to make up for what happened back in 2011. Hard to believe it's been 13 years since he shot that 80 in the final round. He's played well. We act like he hadn't done anything in majors recently. But, you know, last year, he was in the top 7 in 3 majors last year. And the year before, in 2022, he was in the top 10 in all 4 majors. He's been close. It's time for Rory to get it done and have that career grand slam.
Well, the cool thing is he's going to the Golf Whisperer. That's what I call Butch Harmon. I mean, he is. He is just – the guy's incredible at what he can do with world-class players when they're kind of down in their dumps or they can't get over a hurdle. He finds a way to get them there. So I think that's great what he's done. It's just I got too much scar tissue from last year where Sam and I both got sucked into that. So
me too, Woody.
I can't go there. We've got – Sam and I got so much scar tissue, Hump, that we didn't even put him in our top 3.
I get it.
I love everything that he's doing, guys. I love it. But I cannot put him in my picks.
I can't do it. I mean, what are they? I was told that when I was a little kid. I can't say it on the air, but you know what I'm saying. Do it to me once, shame on me. Shame on them, shame on me if I do it twice. So I'm going with Scottie Scheffler too, Sam. I don't know if he'll dominate, but I'm just so impressed with this young man. He just keeps such a good head on his shoulder all the time. It doesn't seem like anything bothers him. I truly believe that he gave that guy the Houston Open. I think he missed putt on 18 on purpose because he wanted that other guy to win. I know that sounds stupid, but it sure looked like it the way he hit that putt. But I think Scheffler understands this is his time. This is he's almost a god as we look at golfers, and we haven't had one since Tiger. And this is his time to really just keep solidifying that and saying, guys, I am the best. There's nobody even close to me. And if you put another green jacket on him, that's the start of the year that who knows what it's going to be. So I'm with you, Sam. I think he's going to be holding him another jacket and a trophy when we're done.
I'm with you, Woody. Hey, we are the official podcast of Golf Oklahoma. I do want to get your guys' thoughts before we leave the show here on Austin Ekro playing in his first Masters, won the Cognizant Classic to get in. After that, he's gone 36th at the Arnold Palmer, 45th at the Players, and 33rd at the Valero Texas Open. But I don't care how Austin plays this week. As a former high school teammate of Austin Ekro, being able to watch him play at the Masters, at Augusta National, I could not be happier for him and his family and his dad, Steve, everyone in the Ekrot camp. I absolutely love, and I can't wait to watch him this week, not only at the par three or the tournament, just as a former teammate and a friend of his. That is going to be the coolest thing of the week for me.
Yeah, Sam, I mean, it was so cool to see guys, Ekrot, your former teammate, and you saw him, you know, win state as a freshman in Class 6A. I know you were second one time to Taylor Moore to 6A regional, but he beat you by 10 shots.
you had to just bring up that second part.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that's right. That's what Taylor Moore could do. But, no, just great, great kids, great, great families. I am so excited to see Austin Ekrot and Taylor Moore here this week. And Woody Ekrot, he won at PGA National. I mean, that's a tough golf course. Ooh. Get your first your first PGA Tour win.
Yeah.
But Woody, he's won at every level. I mean, the NCAA didn't win the individual, but he won the team championship, of course, at Carson 2018. And, of course, like we said, he won the state championship in high school as a freshman. Now he's on the PGA Tour. And Taylor Moore, obviously, you know, we've talked about him and him, you know, winning on the PGA Tour, and now to see them here at Augusta Woody, it is just such a neat thing to see Oklahoma. And I'm happy for Maury Rose, who gave these guys the opportunity with the Oklahoma Junior Golf Tournament, Golf Tour. He played a big part in not only what Taylor Gooch has done, but Taylor Moore and Austin Ekrot, and there's many more in the pipe. Yeah. So hats off to those guys.
Well, it's so special because we really don't realize how lucky we are. I was up there at Oak Tree yesterday, huh? And I walked in the men's locker room, and I hadn't seen all the golf bags they put in the locker room of all the guys we've got on different tours out there playing. And it was mind-boggling. I thought, wow. I mean, I knew we had a lot of good players, but I didn't know we had this many. So I think I never got to do it. I always said I would not go back to Augusta unless I was playing, okay? Got close a couple of times, but I never got there. So I can't even imagine the high that must be when you walk through and you have that badge that says, I'm a participant, I'm a contestant, I'm playing in this sucker, guys. Get out of the way. I think that the high that they ride can only be so special that they can't really explain it. So it's fun for us when you still look at that field of how many guys have some kind of ties to Oklahoma in that field, guys. It's darn near incredible when you really think about this little old state that's stuck just above, where's that state below us? Oh, yeah, it's Texas. Oh, well, whatever. this little old state just puts all these great golfers year in and year in and out. And I think it's what you said, Hump. I think it's a lot to do with the people that get behind our junior programs and build these kids. And not only do they build good golfers, they build great gentlemen. They build character. These kids, there's not a one of them that you wouldn't be proud of representing your state or your club or anything about them. They're all class acts. And I think that means more to me than what they do on the golf course, just how good a Christian and gentleman they are.
Well, and let's mention Ricky Fowler, too, speaking of OSU. Great to have him back. This is his first Masters since 2020, his 11th Masters. But I tell you what, guys, Ricky Fowler has a pretty good track record, top 12 in five of his last seven starts here in Augusta. He was second, of course, to Patrick Reed in 2018. He almost won here. So it's great to see Ricky Fowler back.
It is.
Yeah, I agree with you.
The recent form with Ricky has not been great. Miscut 68, 36, 41st. But to your point, it is always better with Ricky Fowler in the golf tournament. Fellas, that was a great preview show. Dad, I do want to ask you, we got the part three coming up tomorrow. What is the schedule for the part three tomorrow? Do you know?
Normally it starts about noon. I think they will. The first groups will tee off at noon, and if guys are playing like nine holes on the main course, well, then they'll move over to the par three in the afternoon. But they'll be teeing off all the way until it normally finishes around 5 o'clock local time. It only takes about an hour and 15 minutes to play it. But just a great, great event. It's like a big garden party over there. More and more of the players are playing in the par three every year. I will say this, Woody, it seems like the players play far fewer holes in their practice rounds now. I think 9 holes is really like the norm now for a practice round instead of 18, where guys used to come out Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday playing 18 holes, or they might not play Monday if they had played the week before, but they would at least play 18 on Tuesday, and a lot of them would play 18 Wednesday and then the par three. Now, it's more like 9 Wednesday and then the par three, but it's a great event and a lot of fun to kind of let your hair down the afternoon before the tournament begins.
Yeah, I think, Hump, that's something I learned early on whenever I would get to a major. When I was first starting and getting in some, I would do that, what you just said, I'd play a lot. And then I started figuring out, gosh darn, I'm worn out by the time the thing gets here on Thursday. Yeah. So I'm not surprised what you're saying there at all. I think I think the majority of them know where they want to do and know where they're going. They got a pretty good clue of how they want to play the golf course. So what they're doing is they're just killing time waiting for this tournament to start.
Yeah.
And fellas, you can watch the Masters Part 3 contest on ESPN from 2 to 4 p.m. on ESPN, and the live stream will be from 1 to 4 p.m. Central Time on Masters.com in the Masters app. Woody, any final thoughts before we leave?
I've been waiting for this all year. I'm ready. Let's get it.
Dad, any final thoughts?
No, it's just great to be with Woody again. Woody has been with us, so kind to the Sports Animal all through the years to give us great coverage on the weeks of a major. But Sam, thanks for having me on. I'm proud of what you and T-Dub and Woody are doing with the podcast and on the radio. So I'm ready for some golf. It's just a shame that we're going to have maybe some bad weather on Thursday, but a great weekend. It's going to be a lot of fun as always.
I cannot wait. The best week of the year for Taylor Williams and Jim Woodward and Craig Humphreys. This has been Sam Humphreys on the 73rd Hole podcast. Enjoy the golf this weekend.